reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 21, starting at verse 10. That's page 294 in your Bibles. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." David took these words to heart, and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he feigned insanity in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" This is the word of the Lord.
So you've got the page number there, 576. Yeah, I'll be reading it. Don't worry, I'll be reading it. So Psalm 56, on the left-hand side of the page there. Great. And I'm going to read the introductory part underneath the heading of Psalm 56, because this is part of the Bible text. "For the director of music, to the tune of A Dove on Distant Oaks, of David..."
I've got to understand it. That's okay.
Listen, you'll understand some. Okay. "A Miktam, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath." And this is what David prayed. "Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I'm under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Well, please keep that passage open. I'm going to be talking about it now. When I before I knew Karen, I was engaged to someone else, and it didn't work out. We split up, and it was a very sad day that when we split up. It was my choice, but I still felt miserable. A friend picked me up and drove me to his house, and on the radio, every song was about relationship breakup. Now, that's probably because my head was, that's all I was thinking about. But it is true. The world of pop songs is full of breakup songs, isn't it? They sing the blues. Why don't Christians sing the blues so much? Not just about relationship breakups, but all the other aspects of pain. Why don't we? Well, I've got a slide with a whole number of reasons that are not good reasons that we don't. Why don't we talk to God about pain and sing to God about pain? And here are some bad reasons. One thing is our quick fix culture. Our culture wants to, you know, have medicine to make everything right straight away and use quick fixes. And Christians can fall into the same trap. You know, someone's talking to us about a difficult situation, we think, oh, I'll slap a Bible verse on that and make it better. Like taking a tablet to take away a headache. We try to fix people. We answer the why questions. We try to get away from the pain and go straight to the happy ending. We don't let people talk about their pain and allow them to be real. We should. That's my point. Yeah. If you'd listen, I'll talk at this point. Okay. Second reason, our pride. Proud people don't want to look weak. So we won't admit to others. We won't admit to God or ourselves that we are suffering and struggling. And that's pride. And it goes with some Christians, this harsh idea, yes, Christians can have great pain, but you mustn't give in to the feeling. You've got to grit your teeth. Be strong. So that proud attitude. I've got another one. Christians sometimes deny their suffering because it looks like weak faith. And other Christians will say, well, just trust a bit more and it'll be better. And there are some churches, known as prosperity churches, where they'll actually condemn you if you're suffering because you're failing as a Christian in their mind. That's a terrible thing. A fourth thing, evangelistic witness. Some Christians will think, well, if I admit to my friends who are not Christians that I'm suffering and I'm finding it really hard, doesn't that make Christianity look a failure? Why would they want to be Christians if I'm the only Christian they know and my life's hard? So do you see the logic there? Some Christians say, well, I don't want to talk about it. Maybe I might talk about it just to a Christian friend, but I won't let people who are not Christians know because it makes Jesus look a failure. And then a fifth reason, we hear self-pity with other people who are complaining and we think it's wrong and we don't want to do it. We don't want to be moaners. So those are a bunch of reasons why we won't do it. But we should speak about pain. The Bible says we should speak about pain. We're looking forward. We talked about Joyce, who's died, and that she's now with Jesus. She's now free from pain, free from suffering. I'm reading it and explaining it. If you'd listen, then we can all hear. But if you want to read while I'm talking, that's fine. Okay. Will you read? Because I'm speaking and everyone else is listening at this point. Okay. We can talk afterwards if you like. So we're looking forward to total healing, but we're not there yet. And the people who tell you that they have got a route to health and wealth and happiness, they're actually trying to sell you something, and you want to walk away from them. Yeah, they're selling you something false and you want to walk away from them. But the Bible does tell us to talk about grief. And the book of Psalms are full of words for us to use to God in prayers and poems and songs. And many of those Psalms are about suffering. Karen, if you wouldn't mind coming to the front, and Mark, if you could turn the mic on for this. Just going to ask Karen a couple of brief questions. You've not brought the piece of paper. You told me you wanted me to get the questions right, but we'll work at that. So 2 years ago, Karen got shingles, which is a sort of an infection through your nerves. The doctors brilliantly got some medicine that healed that in about 3 days, but then it translated into or shifted into a nerve disease, a pain in the nerves, post-herpatic neuralgia, which, so she just couldn't get out of bed and she couldn't move at all to be in a pain-free position. You ended up in bed for 14 weeks, didn't you? After 6 weeks, I said, do you remember me saying, actually, my wife, she hasn't left, she hasn't died, she's at home, she's ill. took 14 weeks before the doctors got the medicine to the right level for her to cope with the pain. So during that time, you did. There was one part of the Bible you did look at a lot. Which part was that?
It was the Psalms. I didn't actually read the Bible. I was in too much pain to do that. So I have an app on my phone, and I listened to it over and over and over again.
Yeah, so you just went through it, didn't you, on a sort of loop, listening to all of the Psalms or a certain section. And why did you do that? How did it help?
I already knew that God is no less good in the bad times than he is in the good times. But to read truth from people who are in pain, telling you things like, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, those sort of truths really helped me.
Terrific, thank you. So, and that gate, that it didn't make, did it then take the pain away? So you didn't?
No, not at all.
No.
No, but somehow they were able to articulate some things that I wasn't able to articulate, and it brought me great comfort.
Terrific. Thank you very much for coming up. Karen is not someone who's keen on speaking to the group, so thanks, Karen, for coming and speaking to everyone. So we've had 5 weeks looking at the Book of Lamentations, Book of Grief, and that has given us some lessons about lamenting. I don't know if you can remember some of those. So it's good to speak about sadness. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to cry. In fact, it's good to cry. It's important to talk. It's important to pray to God. And it's important to understand it can take a long time to get through a time of grief or of suffering. Those are some lessons. We're going to look now at a psalm. In our Tuesday and Wednesday group, evening groups in the past 4 weeks, so the one in where the page marker is, we've looked at four lament psalms about times of sadness. And Mark, on the slide, we've got elements of lament, things that these psalms all have. The first one is turning to God. Stop just looking at yourself and being preoccupied with your suffering. Lift your eyes to God. However much you might think he's forgotten you, if you turn to him. Second thing is complain to God. Let him know how you're feeling. Don't be afraid to cry. Tell him how much it hurts you. Maybe tell him how it feels unfair. The third thing is ask God. So having done those things, so you turn to God, start talking to him, not just thinking about yourself, start telling him about the situation, then you ask, because in praying we're asking God to change something. So ask him to change the situation, the thing you want and the thing you don't want. And then finally, trust. Remember the gospel, the good message of God, and let that give you trust in God. So we're going to see each of those in the psalm today, Psalm 56. Rosemary read the story behind the psalm for us, the story of David going to Gath, where he was a prisoner and in danger. Gath is a place where Goliath came from. Do you remember David and Goliath, that great battle? Gath was the place of Goliath, his great enemy. David went there because he was fleeing from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And in Psalm 56, David uses all the four elements of lament. He turns to God. He tells God about the things that trouble him. He asks God, he prays to God to remember his trials. And he expresses his trust in the Lord. He does all those four things. So let's see. The first thing is just very briefly at the very beginning. David turns to God and asks for mercy. So if you could go back, Mark, to the previous slide. Here we go, these four elements. Verse 1, be merciful to me, my God. He cries out for mercy, seeking help from God. The second thing is talking about his trouble or complaining. Verse 1 again, be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. That's when they're chasing after him and they're on the edge of catching him. That's what a hot pursuit is. He carries on, all day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. It's again in verse 5. All day long they twist my words. They never give up. He wakes up every morning with a sickening feeling. Will I survive today? Because you've got this constant pressure. Now, we may think, why is David telling God these things? God knows everything. God knows that these people are causing him so much trouble. What's the point of telling God what he already knows? And what? I hope you pray to God things that he already knows. Did you realize that you should do this in praying? Well, what often happens to us is in the pressure on us, we forget. It's not that God ever forgets. We forget. God knows that. And talking about them to God helps us remember, oh, you did know that anyway, didn't you? That's part of how this lament way of praying helps. It helps us to be honest about how hard things are, or honest about our fears. Helps us to remember what we quickly forget, that God knows those things and sees them. We might ask, how can it be right to complain like this? How can it be faithful? How can a faithful person complain to God? Well, praying like this is part of trust. And so it's a way of praising him, because we're saying, you're a God who's worth talking to about this. Do you see what I mean? You know, if we just despaired, we wouldn't bother with God. What's the point? And that's what some people do, don't they? They give up on being a Christian, give up on being in church. They say, what's the point? God doesn't care. I'm not going to bother with that anymore.
That's me.
Well, no, you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you for coming. So that's us, isn't it? If we're willing to talk to God, it's a form of trust. Lament is different from grumbling. Grumbling is when in our grief and our anguish, we run away from God and we become angry with him. And we blame him, and we refuse to trust him. That's grumbling. But lament in the Bible is when we desperately go to God. We have turned to him. We are telling him about the situation and talk to him about pain. It's not denying our faith. It's actually an expression of the faith. We do it using the words of the psalm. Yeah, we do it using the words of the psalm. Well, this is the point at which I talk.
I'm in despair now.
Yeah, we will talk afterwards, but I want to show you from the psalm about lessons to learn, okay? I'll show you from the psalm about lessons to learn.
Thank you.
Lament psalms give us hope in the midst of despair. And David now moves from the trust of speaking to God about his suffering to the trust of remembering who God is. You see that in verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Let me read verse 3 and 4 again. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can my mortals do to me? So it's all about, so initially there's an aspect of David's relationship to God. When am I afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and am not afraid. He's reminding himself of God. He's not actually praying at this point to God, is he? He's reminding himself who God is. And God is a person that David trusts. He trusts his word. But then in verse 5, he goes back to his troubles. All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, hoping to take their life. And this is because our faith zigzags, doesn't it? We don't go through a neat series of steps of turning to God, telling him about how bad it is, then asking him for something, and then on to the next stage. No, we go backwards and forwards between those things. And so David has gone backwards to telling God about his concerns. He's forgotten, if you like, and about trusting, and has gone back to talking about the difficulty. You see, there's a contest in David's heart. There's a contest when we're struggling. Is there? Will I fear or will I trust? At the same time, he's afraid. Verse 3, when I'm afraid. And at the same time, he trusts. Verse 4, I trust in God whose word I praise. He says, what can these people do to me? Well, they can do quite a lot, can't they? They can do a lot. But he's in God's hands. He's safe. Now David moves to the third part. So we've got turning to God, complaining to God, and then asking God. In which verses, this is for you to put your hand up and tell me the answer, when does he ask in this psalm? In which verses does he ask? You need to look at the psalm and then tell me. Where's he asking for something? Yeah, verse 1, be merciful to me, that's asking. Where's another time in which he asks? Verse 8, yes, record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. And the end of verse 7, because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, bring the nations down. So 1, 7 and 8. In verse 8, he says, record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. You know, take notice. He says, you keep track of all that happens to me. So David has turned to God, he's complained to God, he asks God, and finally he trusts God. Three times he in this psalm, he praises God for his words. It's there twice in verse 10 and 11. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. See, David's faith is not wishful thinking. God has spoken, and he trusts him. He's not naive, he's surrounded by enemies, but in the end he knows from God's words that God can be trusted and God is in control. And this trust that David's got, which is what makes his lamenting a godly way of praying, it's not grumbling in an ungodly way. And this is teaching us how we can bring our sorrow to God when like Joyce has died in the grief of bereavement, when we lose our health, we lose perhaps social privileges, like when we're divorced or someone has been unfaithful in marriage, economic loss, unemployment and redundancy, spiritual loss in the sense, you know, if a friend you love has walked away from church. These are all things that we will grieve about, and we can bring these things to the Lord. Now, we can speak in a wrong way about them. I've said that at the beginning, but just to repeat that again. Some people think all I've got to do is get it off my chest. That's the world way of talking, isn't it? Vent my emotions. It's not talking about that. It's not just getting it off his chest. Other people will say, oh, it's all about me and my self-pity. And they moan and groan. They don't bring it, they don't connect it to faith in God. That is not the right way. Some people just moan and complain about how this spoils their comfortable life, and there's no reference to God in how they're talking of it. So yeah, that we can get this very wrong. But there is a right way of talking about suffering. So in the Bible, Job lamented. David laments here in the Psalms. Jesus lamented, and Paul lamented. You might say, well, what does Jesus know about lamenting? When was Jesus sad? At one time he told his friends, I'm deeply grieved, even unto death. And when he was on the cross, what did he pray? My God, why have you forsaken me? He lamented as he died on the cross. So Christian funerals, for application of this, an example of how this lives out, should be a time of grieving as well as rejoicing. Many Christians think when you go to a Christian funeral, it's going to be so different from the non-Christian funerals. It's just going to be singing and it's just going to be happiness because we know that person has gone to be with the Lord. Yes, we celebrate that. But those of us who are left, if we're human, will grieve because we've lost them. And it's right to grieve. And it's strange not to. So a Christian funeral should have both. Which is why when the children were in here and I said that Joyce had died, I said it's both a happy and a sad time. Happy that Joyce has gone to be with Jesus, but sad for us who are left. It's both. There are right and there are wrong ways of speaking about our sufferings. So the next slide, please, Mark. Using the Psalms to lament, as Karen has told us how that helped her. The Psalms are good because they acknowledge that life is hard. David here in this psalm is not pretending that life is easy or that, you know, he prayed a prayer and everything was right. It's hard and it can be hard for a long time. The Psalms show us that suffering in this life, even for believers, is normal and can be expected. And they help us to find the words. The thing that Karen said that was interesting, because I'd read about it in a couple of books this week about Psalms and sufferings, is people who suffer can sometimes find it hard to put into words. But we've got the words in the Psalms. So apparently when people go through a trauma, you know, any sort of trauma, like an accident or a bereavement, or particularly people who've been tortured, they lose their ability to speak. And they need to relearn that. Well, the Psalms can help us in giving us the words. We might not have the words to express it, but they can express it. But remember, it's not a quick fix. So you might know someone who's suffering, and they might try reading the Psalms, and it might not really work. It might feel like it's fake. You know, crying out to God, and you get nothing back. You think he's listening, and he could do something, but he doesn't. So it requires patience. You know, we might have to work at it. But using the Psalms is something we can do. And the second thing was quite surprising here in this psalm. Sorry, can you you just listen for this last bit while I'm speaking, and then we can talk afterwards, okay? That'll be good, just while we're listening. Do you see at the very beginning there, it says Psalm 56 is for the director of music. It's the director of music. Why is it for the director of music? What are they going to do with it? They're going to sing it. Yeah, it's a song. Lament psalms aren't used very much in churches, and when they are, churches tend to take out the angry bits, the miserable bits, and the sad bits. And that's partly because the main part of the Christian message is the joy that Jesus has died for our sins, the joy that he's risen from the dead, the joy that the Holy Spirit's with us, the joy that, you know, like Joyce has died, she's now in a place without suffering and sin. Many reasons, and our main message is joy. But our life also has pain. And it's a question, why do Christian songs not have much about pain in them? You know, the pop songs that I listened to that night when I broke up, they were full of pain. That is the experience of life. Christians know how to rejoice about answered prayer, how to pray for help, but a lot of us don't know how to express to God our sadness. So what we have done in Dangling Parish Church, I don't know, Mark, how many years ago it was, 5 years ago or so, I said, could we have, yeah, about that, we need to have some songs for sadness. So we do have songs for sadness in our singing. I don't think any of them fit with this pattern, but here we go. Be still my soul, God has not promised, blessed be your name, bless the Lord, O my soul. And we have sung our songs of victory, it's one we've sort of introduced recently. I think you might think of some more. But we're trying to do this at Dangling Parish Church, not to be a church where you have to be happy when you come in through the door. We want to be a church that is honest. And part of that is learning from the Bible that we can sing honestly about difficult things. At the beginning, I said one of the reasons people are anxious about talking honestly about their suffering is it makes Jesus look weak. You know, why would someone want to be a Christian if I'm here a Christian and my life is difficult? Well, what we can do as we talk to that friend is we can actually be explaining to them the fuller picture of the Christian message. We are still in a world that's broken. We are still suffering. And as a Christian, I shouldn't be surprised if that happens. I'm not telling you that Jesus takes away all pain now, but he will do in the future. That's my belief. And that's what I'm hoping for you, my friend, who's not a Christian. That's what we can say to them at that time. We mustn't pretend and lie to people who are not Christians to make Jesus look good. Do you not see the contradiction there? If we're lying to try and make Jesus look good. That's a terrible thing to do. Four parts of this lament. It's turning to God. It's complaining to God. You know, making clear how much we suffer. It's asking God. and then it's trust in God. Although trust comes through all of those elements, really, but it's ending up at a trust in what we know to be true of God. I hope that's helpful. I hope that might encourage you to use some psalms more for personal reading. It might be you land on one particular psalm and use it again and again and again. That's a good thing to do. That's a good way of doing it. Let's have a moment's pause, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, we do wish that we didn't have to have songs of psalms of sadness. We do wish that the people who say that there's a way of being free of sadness and tears and pain, we wish they were right. But the Bible shows they're not. And we thank you for the help of the honesty of the Bible. Please help us use these book of psalms, each of us ourselves and together here as a church. Help us to sing about being sad and to get the help that gives. Please help us to be an honest church, a place where sad people can admit they're sad and they struggle, and that we're patient with each other rather than trying to hurry people on and to get them to stop talking about the sadness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.